close of another day of life that God has blessed us with. He's blessed us to be able to, again, assemble together in a fashion like this so we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you. I put the title of the lesson on the board before you, "For Such a Time as This," taken from Ezra chapter 4. We're going to read again, just for emphasis, begin with verse 10. This is a lesson that few of you have heard me do. I did it several weeks ago. There's a few number of us here, and so for you that listened to it, I think it's Junior, Bellis, and Bernice, I know, that has heard this right off the top of my head. So it's just going to be a reminder for you, but all of us can benefit from being reminded about it. Maybe a couple of those other lessons that I did during that period of time we'll do again, and so that all of us can have the benefit of hearing those. Again, get your eyes on Ezra chapter 4. Begin with verse 10. Appreciate Jacob and the good job he did in reading for us earlier, and appreciate him in doing that. And notice this text beginning with verse 10 of Esther, chapter 4. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king unto the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Just very briefly, if you've read the book of Esther, you know that wicked Haman had made a plot against all the Jews. He was a man that had risen to a place of authority, and folks was giving him reverence, but Mordecai refused to do that. And that angered Haman. And in chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says that he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. And so this decree goes out that all the Jews are going to be exterminated. They're going to be annihilated. They're going to be killed, destroyed. And Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, he was the Jews' enemy. So he wanted to destroy the Jews. Well, as you know, Esther had risen to a place of authority. She was queen. And so Mordecai is telling her, "You need to make a request on behalf of your people." And she says in the text that if you go into the inner court, except the king bid you to come, there is one decree, you'll be put to death. Except the king would reach out the golden scepter. And she realizes, "I've not been called." And Mordecai sends word to her, "Don't think that you're going to escape, that all the Jews are going to perish, but somehow you're not going to. But if you don't do this, then deliverance is going to arise from another place, but you're going to be destroyed." And that brings us to verse 14. When Mordecai tells her, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I put this sermon together in the troubled times that we live in. And we're not any more troubled today than Christian people have been troubled since the first century. Still not arisen to that occasion. We might think that we have. And it's been a time of uncertainty. It's COVID-19 and other things that perhaps individuals face. And certainly we've not had to face things like that, at least that I can remember. I guess if you think about H1N1 and other things, but probably not to this extent. And so I say that to say that as God's people, we're going to find ourselves in a host of different positions, a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different situations. But the next time that something comes up, Have you already resolved within yourself, if it ever happens again, I know what I'm going to do next time? I hope we've used this as a learning curve, as a learning opportunity to say, should this happen again, I know what I'm going to do. Can you think that? Have you thought about that? Maybe we've made some decisions personally that we just caught off guard and we made some decisions, but we realize, you know what, if it comes again, I think I know what I'm going to do the next time. I've heard that perhaps this coronavirus, I don't know whether it will or not, is maybe come back in the fall. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Maybe it'll come back not as bad. Maybe it'll come back even harder. But are we resolved that in such times as even we're living now, that we know what we're going to do? I want us to take a look at some different scenarios, some different times that we might find ourselves in as God's people. What are we going to do? We've got to make that choice. Begin with me all the way around the room. All of us have to make a choice what we're going to do. The first one I want to mention to you is in times of prosperity. What are you going to do in such a time as that? In times of prosperity, well, there's a reaction you're going to have one way or the other. Now, I can't help but to think about, when I think about prosperity and about luxury somewhat, but if you think about being blessed materialistically, I think about Deuteronomy chapter 6. Passage perhaps you know very well. Here is Moses talking to God's people and he's exhorting them to obedience and he's telling them to, he's talking to them about their condition when they get into the promised land. Now notice what he says, beginning with verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Now you're going to have these things. You didn't build them. You didn't labor for them. And houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not. You didn't fill it. And wells did, which you didn't dig. Vineyards and olive trees that you didn't plant. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. Can you imagine that? Here God is going to bless him with a land that he had swore to Abraham and to his seed, and he's going to make good on that promise, and they're going to go into the promised land. They're going to have houses that they didn't build and vineyards they didn't plant and wells that they didn't dig, and they're going to eat and be full. Now what's the admonition in the next verse, verse 12? Then beware lest thou also, or lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When times of prosperity come, don't forget about this passage, Deuteronomy 6. Beware lest you forget God. Everything we have is a result of God's mercy and bountiful hand daily stretched out to us. Don't forget that. In the book of Job, we read about how Job prospered, how he was a man that had a lot of riches. Those things were taken away from him. His infliction of bad things that came upon him, his wealth was taken from him, lost his material possessions, lost his family, lost his physical health. But not one time did he charge God foolishly. And then he asked the question, shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord and also evil? I tell you, Christian people today ought not think that they're recipients of only good things. Bad things come upon us as well, and we need to remember our place and remember to not charge God foolishly. And then we have a passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19, where those that are rich are charged to not be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in God. So in times of prosperity, in such a time as this, don't forget God. But also, just a few I want to mention to you briefly this evening. Very simple, You may go down this list and you may say, you know what, I've been there. I've been in several of these positions. What about in times of opposition? Ever been opposed? I know we talk about the passage over in the book of 1 Timothy when Paul is writing to Timothy and he's encouraging to do the work of an evangelist, to make full proof of his ministry, talking to him about doing the things that he needs to be busy about doing. Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, you could probably finish that by now, shall suffer persecution. Someone says, oh, I've never been persecuted. Have you been living godly in Christ Jesus? Might be a good time to take self-inventory on that as to whether you've been doing those things. But think of that. In times of opposition, in Acts chapter 8, there continued to be opposition toward the disciples. Here it was in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was stoned because he stood for the truth. And Saul was present at that occasion. He wreaked havoc on the church. And the disciples were scattered abroad throughout the region except the apostles. And they went forth and did what? Preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following, from Mark chapter 16, verse 20. But they went forth and preached everywhere, even to Samaria and beyond. They had opposition, but they didn't let that slow them down. In Acts chapter 13, verse 46, notice what the Bible says in that passage. Acts chapter 13 and in verse 46. Again, I appreciate you turning in your Bibles and flipping the pages. That at least indicates to some degree that you're listening to what is being said. Here was Paul and others being, Paul and Barnabas being opposed, and the Bible says that they waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That passage, by the way, from 2 Timothy 3:12. I don't know if I gave that to you or if I misquoted that, but 2 Timothy 4 and then verse 12. And so in times of opposition, what's your response going to be? I hope that we'll stand fast and do what God would have us to do. Got to have thick skin. That's not only for the preacher, but all of us need to have thick skin. You can't get your feelings hurt. You can't let your feathers get ruffled when someone says something or does something to you. You just got to keep on keeping on. Be resolved to do that. But also, in times of persecution, so, preacher, what's the difference between opposition and persecution? Well, there are similarities, but they're not exactly the same. Folks can oppose you and not do anything to you other than oppose the word that you're preaching. But you can surely be persecuted as well, even physically. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, the Lord talks about rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I had you over in the book of Acts just a moment ago, in Acts chapter 16, verse 30. Here was a man that cried out, what must I do to be saved? And he said that to individuals who had been persecuted. But even in times of persecution, there can be a door of opportunity open. Don't forget about that. Acts 15, 25 and 26. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Now watch this. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be resolved to have your life even put in jeopardy? I want you to think about that during this time of the corona, during all of this that's going around, and we really take inventory personally. I can't take self-inventory of you, just of myself. We've got to take inventory of ourselves. Well, I'll make some comments about that in just a moment. But in times of persecution, would you hazard your life, or would you say, I will not in any way put myself in a position where I can be hurt the least at all, none whatsoever. Do you think that we might find ourselves in situations where bad might come upon us because we're serving the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about going and putting yourself in harm's way just for the sake of being in harm's way, but we all know that there are times and situations where bad things may very well come upon us because we have chosen to put the Lord first. You agree, Shaker, or not? Is that possible? Sure it is. Sure it is. Be resolved, even in times of persecution, for such a time as this. And then in false doctrine, we've talked numerous times about the fact you can't believe everything you hear, and yet folks all around us think that you can. Doesn't matter so long as you're sincere about it. Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine or teaching. That's all doctrine means is teaching, by the way. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Keep on keeping on. Answer religious error. Oh, you're not going to be able to answer all of it. But do the best you can to give a defense, give an answer as to why you believe what you do. Don't be timid about doing that. By the way, you might run into someone and you may say, you know what? It doesn't matter, they'll learn at some point. How do you know that? How do I know that? It may be the only time that they ever have an opportunity to at least hear a nugget of truth. You'll not go anywhere but the body of Christ to hear it, by the way. Nobody but Christian people will tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, the whole counsel of God, if they're doing what God would have them to be doing. In Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Trying to get individuals to go back for sake the New Testament law, and go back to the law of Moses. Now watch verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. What about in times of wickedness? You think we're living in wicked times? Sure we are. Folks steal things, they feed things, they beat people up, they curse and swear and have a filthy mouth and just do a whole host of things. I think not too long ago, there was a few years back, someone stole a bicycle right out of the yard of a friend of ours. Think of that. Just folk, if it's not nailed down, they'll take off with it. Isn't that sad? But that's the time that we live in. Folks who steal and do things like that. Last week, there was a fellow did some thieving here in the community, and I saw him jump in the car, chased him down, and at least got his picture and talked with him. And they got it back, so it's times of wickedness that we live in. In 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, we're called upon to be separate. Don't be like the people around you. Be a good example, by the way, that other people can mimic what you're doing. Not that we're the authority, but we want folks truly to see Christ living in us. I'm telling you, either be influenced or influence. You're going to be one of the two. You're either going to influence others or you're going to be influenced by them. Purpose to influence for the better other people. Don't be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In such a time as this, the times we're living now, wickedness, false doctrine, persecution, opposition, prosperity. What about in sickness? Have you ever been sick? Folks sick lately? We've all been sick in time past. Some folks are going through some trying times with their sickness. God doesn't promise immunity to His people, does He? And we're not going to get sick, and we're not subject to things that other people go through, even during this pandemic that's hopefully dying down now. God didn't promise that we'll not catch that and be sick with it. In times of sickness, you need a purpose that you know what you're going to do. Your resolve that you're going to continue to serve God, that when I say you, I include myself in that, you in general, all of us. You need to serve God in Philippians chapter 2, verses 27 through 30. He's talking about Epaphroditus, you read in verse 25. He's a fellow soldier and laborer, brother, companion. Ministered under the needs of Paul. Now watch verse 26 begin. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Well, here's a soldier of the cross, sick. Now how could that happen? How could that be the case? Well, because Christian people get sick. And this man was a worker, the text says. Now watch verse 27. For indeed he was sick. How sick was he? Nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now watch verse 30 as well. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. You mean, as a Christian, this man labored insomuch that he was nigh unto death. You ever heard the expression, someone who works their fingers to the bone? This is an expression. They're a hard worker. They do the things that God would have them to do. But you mean I might get sick from it? I might get so weary that I might get exhausted and be sick physically? And who knows, maybe even catch this COVID-19. Oh, that might happen. Think of that. You know, even in sickness, we've got one of two things we can do. We can stop or go. Stop or go. Someone says, well, you're just speaking like a foolish man. You're just telling people to get out here and get themselves sick. I told you don't go get yourself sick or in harm's way for the sake of doing that. My point is that that's our reaction. Either stop or go. Pull back or go forward. You've got to make that choice for yourself. I mean, you'll stand or fall before your own master, and so will I. But I'm just encouraging all of us to purpose to do what God would have us to do. Come on, me. Come on, me. We'll get through it. You've heard that several times, not from me, but perhaps you've heard it from others. But it'll pass if the Lord allows time to continue. And then what about even in death? In Psalm 23, a beautiful psalm that probably the most popular psalm. It's read at nearly every funeral. It's printed on the back of memorial cards, and individuals cling to it. It's a good psalm, and I love it too. It's a short one. Notice what he says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How so? Notice. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're not promised tomorrow. If it comes, we'll be thankful for it. If it doesn't, there are greater things to come for the people of God. We don't have to worry about the sky going to fall on us, as I recently told you. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, the words of Paul, that he was ready at the time of his offering. time of departure. Some versions say he's ready to be poured out as a drink offering, but knew that his life was soon going to be over. And I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. Even in times of sickness, don't quit. And the list could go on and on with that. Work to be done. Work to be done. Last point, times of uncertainty. I told you over the last several weeks and I guess months now, folks have asked me, what do you think I ought to do? Doesn't matter what I think you ought to do relative to this sickness and so forth. Do what the book says. You know what the book says to do? In times of uncertainty, when you don't know what tomorrow holds, you don't know whether you get sick or not, you don't know whether you're going to rise tomorrow or not, you don't know what's going to happen, only thing I can tell you to do is cling to God and do what His Word says. That's all I can tell you to do. Make supplication unto Him in prayer. Pray. Times of uncertainty like this, you've been praying, but all this will come to an end. Pray without ceasing. I'll recommend that to anybody. Don't know what all you're going to choose to do, but I recommend you pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 11, I recommend you remember that God provides our provision on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread, the Lord prayed in that model prayer, Matthew 6:11. So I don't know what tomorrow holds, but thank you, Lord, for providing for us today, this day. I'd suggest that to you. I suggest to you to be thou faithful unto death and don't stop. I'm resolved. I hope that you are too. I know some things I've purposed with all of my heart to do differently. If it does outbreak in the fall with another round of this virus, some things that I know I'll do differently. Be thou faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. We may not know why, but we certainly know who. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. I like that saying. So much truth in that. In times of uncertainty, pray. Be closer to God. Don't give up. Don't be faint. Don't lose heart. We know that we will reap if we don't lose heart. If we faint not. Galatians 6 and then verse 9. But as we close the sermon, I want you to come back over to the book of Esther with me. And I want us to pick up another little few more verses as we close the sermon that just sticks with me as I read this. And again, we don't know what's going to happen. We know the threats of civil authorities who say if you folks continue on, this is going to be the ramifications of it. We can listen or not. So far as that goes. And I know whether you come down on one side or the other, there's reasons that individuals could give, but that's a decision that each person has to make. But I want you to notice verse 15. Esther knew, she knew that she had not been summoned or petitioned or invited by the king, however you want to phrase it, to come into the inner court. And she knew that if I go and he does not reach out the golden scepter to me, I'm dead. She knew that. But Mordecai is saying you need to speak on behalf of your people. Now watch verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king. Now watch this. She said, I'll go. I want you to fast. Pray for me. I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. Think of that. Let that sink in for a moment. Death could be the outcome. Now watch this next phrase that just, I hope we just get a handle on it best we can. Now watch this. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Think of that. Oh, death may be knocking. I don't know. Sickness may come. I don't know. But I know what the book says, and I know what God has instructed me to do. And I hope you know what He's instructed you to do according to the book. And if I perish, I perish. I hope we're resolved to do that. Leave this thought with you. Our decisions, no matter what it is, in this time of sickness or whatever may come, can never be made solely on the basis of what it may do to others. Now, I understand. We wore a mask, wore gloves this morning. I understand that. But I'm telling you, it cannot be based solely upon the negative impact that it might have on someone else. And here's why. You will never become a Christian and never remain faithful if that's the motivation. Because do you realize becoming a Christian has the potential to cause negative ramifications to self and others? You think folks might lose their job if they become a Christian? And they say, well, listen, that's going to impact my family. I can't do that. That's going to take food out of my kids' mouths. I can't go that route. You think it might negatively impact their family? Self? Others? Sure it can. I was just listening to a sermon that a preacher did this morning. He stood for the truth, and as a result of that, the men had a meeting together and sin packing. And he did what was right. And now he's looking for a place to go. You cannot base what you do as a Christian solely because someone else might get hurt. Think about the apostles in the first century. Think about the disciples. They met together. They were persecuted, cast into prison, beaten, threatened. Oh, we can't do that. Look what might happen to others if I myself get involved in that. Might lose status, prestige, health, well-being, and the list goes on. If I perish, I perish. But Mordecai told her, how do you know that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Be resolved. The next time you're in some of these situations, you know what you're going to do. I know what I'm going to do. And we keep on keeping on. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, obey the gospel. Very simple, as I shared with you this morning, looking out the assembly, most, if not everyone, has done that. Hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. That's simple. Nothing difficult about that. All of us, from the youngest to the oldest, can understand that. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. But you want to come home, be restored. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you, and for you, come right now.